Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's read the first four verses. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amen. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Amen. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way. Shew thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now I want to just first say, let me just say as a common courtesy, please don't come to me afterward and say, well, you missed this, or you missed that, you know, or here's something you missed, because I understand I have probably missed something, and probably will miss something. But as I begin to look at this, there is far more here than just what I seen in originally reading. You know, this account is given by Matthew, it's given by Mark, it's given by Luke.
Yes, sir.
And just to give you an illustration, I'm not even going to talk about that yet, whether I even do or not. That's still, I don't know, but I plan on it. But you know, things, we make plans, God can change them. But Christ told him, go tell no man. You know what he did? He went and told everybody he could. Huh? See, even God's mercy doesn't enable you to always be obedient, does it? But even what the man did was according to the sovereign purpose of God, because our Lord knew he would do exactly the opposite of what he told him to do. Right? And let me tell you something. When God shows you some kind of mercy, he's far more important to you than obedience to the law.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hmm? Telling about who he is and what he has done is far more important, Mason, than my trying to keep the law. Now, that's just a point for another message.
Yeah.
All right? But I want to try to concentrate mainly this morning on verse 2. And a certain part of verse 2, of course. Well, actually, that's the whole part, but this phrase... It says, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him,
saying,
Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Amen.
So what I want to try to talk about is true worship. Now, there are basics to true worship. We find three of them right here, and I think these are the three.
Yep.
I mean, if you lack one of these, it's not true worship. And there's no need to add in anything else. Right? Because it clearly says he worshipped him. Right?
Amen.
He worshipped him saying. Right? Now let me stress, it's not just saying words. Okay? It's not just, I read it from the Bible, therefore I speak about it or I preach about it from the Bible. And I'm accustomed to saying it and you're accustomed to say it, so we all say it. So therefore we're all worshipers of God. That's not so. This came from the individual, from within him, from a deep-seated sense of need. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This cry for mercy, Joe, is real.
Yes.
And it's personal. It's not, oh, God, do this for me, and all my kinfolks too are sick.
Yeah.
Huh? It's, God, I need something from you.
Yes, sir.
Right? And let me say that salvation is that personal.
Yes, sir.
And I remember a preacher years ago hearing him say, there's one thing about that straight gate. You got to go in by yourself.
That's it.
You can't take your spouse with you. You can't take your children with you. You can't take your parents with you. You got to go in by yourself.
Exactly.
And then basically, you got to leave everybody else behind.
That's right.
I mean, I'm going in. It's got to be this way. I'm going in even if nobody else goes in.
Amen. That's right.
Exactly.
because it's that important.
Yes.
It is that important.
Yes.
If it hair-lips the world, let the world be hair-lipped. Who cares? You know?
Yes, sir.
If my husband doesn't like it, well, husband, you can stay behind. Well, that ain't much love for husband. Love for Christ is supreme. I mean, it is, not as it ought to be, it is supreme.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And you know, it takes an act of grace
yes.
to come to that.
Exactly.
It took an act of grace for this man to come to this.
Yes,
because,
sir.
And behold, here's a leper. Now, we'll talk more about this later. He still wasn't, he didn't begin obedient, and after it was over with, he still wasn't completely obedient.
Yeah.
This man was supposed to have his mouth covered with a cloth and be crying, unclean, unclean. Huh? And we can prove that by looking at what some of the other two writers say about this man. Okay? But yet he, no matter, even if I'm faulty along the way, I'm going to Christ.
Exactly.
Right? Even if I fail along the way, I'm going to Christ. That's worshiping him.
Amen.
Okay? Yes, sir. But there are three basics. Now look, here they are. First of all, true worship acknowledges Christ's authority.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Secondly, true worship acknowledges Christ's ability.
Yeah.
Lord, thou canst.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of doubt as to, Lord, I hope you can do this.
Yeah.
True worship, which is joined and cannot be experienced apart from true faith. Okay? And I'm not even going into that, but that's both of those are there.
Exactly.
You can't have one without the other. True worship acknowledges Christ's ability.
Yes, sir.
Thou canst. But thirdly, true worship acknowledges Christ's absolute sovereignty.
Amen.
Lord, if thou wilt.
Amen.
That's the only question or the only obstacle to this situation being taken care of.
Yes, sir.
Lord, it's all up to you.
Amen.
You can do it just if you will.
Amen. That's it.
Of course, now in today's society, worshiping God is not even believing God.
Oh,
and it's certainly not it's certainly not acknowledging Christ's absolute sovereignty. Today, all you got to do is just claim it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't even call for faith nowadays.
No.
Just claim it. This man didn't claim nothing. Other than Christ is Lord, he has complete authority, and he can do it if he will.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay?
Yeah.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter's first message on the day of Pentecost, his first public message after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he makes this one statement in verse 36 that God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're here, and I say me standing here and you there listening, but you there supporting this gospel. Not me, this gospel. We are here to declare the truth, but we're here to also expose the error.
That's it.
I'm commanded to do that. From God's book. As an elder in the assembly, I'm commanded to do this. We've got thousands of people, and some of them I get angry at, and then others, those who are under that, don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, I feel sorry for them. You wish you could just do something for them and give them a whole different change of mind, a change of heart, but you see, that's not up to us. We got a bunch of people running around saying, you need make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. He is the Lord of your life, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it or not, he is Lord.
Amen.
We don't make him anything.
Exactly.
I mean, the creature making the creator anything?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous language.
Exactly.
Not to say unscriptural language.
Yeah.
You know? Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and here's a familiar one. But what's amazing is people, a lot of people, not everyone, of course, But a lot of people have gotten away from this. Now listen to what it says. And of course, you've got a lot of these so-called soul winners, people trying to convince other people to give their heart to Jesus and all this stuff. And they say you need to accept him as your personal Savior.
Oh yeah.
No, true worship, to come to Christ for some need, is to acknowledge that he is not just a Savior. Certainly, when you say, Mason, thou canst, you're saying you're a Savior. You can do it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But it's first of all, primary, Lord.
Amen.
Right? Lord. Verse, what did I say it was? Let me look at it here again. Verse 9? Yeah, that's it. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus Christ. If all you have is a personal Savior, you have nothing.
Exactly.
You have a figment of religious man's imagination.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Jesus Christ saves personally. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
Yes, sir.
He is a personal Savior.
Yes, sir.
But nowhere does Scripture call upon us to accept Christ as our personal Savior, mm-hmm. nor even receive him as a personal Savior. It says to confess that he is what? Lord.
Amen.
Lord. And that is a sign or evidence and one of the basic fundamentals to true worship.
Yes, sir.
Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. According to Philippians chapter 2, this is the paramount thing of even all that Christ did in this world. Mm-hmm. Listen to how Paul puts it. Philippians 2, verse 5, for the kind of the whole context. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Remember, what did he tell this guy to do?
Yep.
Go, don't tell anybody. Just go do what the law says to do.
That's right.
Right? That's what he told him.
Yep.
For a testimony to them.
Yes, sir.
Right? He wasn't looking for some kind of self-credit here. You know, he didn't come to be a movie star. He's Lord.
Amen.
He doesn't need any of that.
Exactly.
Right?
You know?
Right.
But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, and that's the name.
Yes, sir.
It's a man's name, okay?
That's right.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord. But we're not talking about some formula now. We're not talking about some magic talisman. You just say, Lord Jesus, please save me. You know? My bird, I could probably teach him to say that. I'm serious. He can talk. And sometimes I can strangle him too. But it's hard to strangle something that can talk to you. It says to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, what? To the glory of God. Of God the Father. That means it has to be real.
Yes.
It's not a put on.
Exactly.
Okay? When this guy came, this leper came, he meant, when he said Lord, he meant Christ was Lord.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's it.
Because who was telling him he was?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's it.
Think about it. Who was it that taught this man that Jesus Christ was Lord?
Exactly.
I think these preachers ought to step back a little bit, don't you? Even me, it's not up to me to convince somebody that Jesus Christ is Lord, David. God has to do that.
Amen.
God has to do that.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, what are you doing? I'm just preaching that these are the facts. This is the truth.
Yes,
you
sir.
See? Now, Jesus Christ is Lord, right? And as Matthew records it, and what's amazing, you see, if you look at Mark and you look at Luke, you will find out that neither one of them uses the word worship. One says he came up to Christ and kneeled down to him. Okay? So he physically got on his knees. Right? But now Matthew under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doesn't give us some kind of physical posture he was in, but he tells us the state of his inner being. Now, his physical posture was an outward manifestation of his inward state. But just because you're on your knees, don't prove that you're truly worshiping God.
That's right.
And a person can worship God and still stand up straight.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's why one of the writers was moved. Now, the other writers were moved to give an actual account. He got on his knees, right? Yeah. But one of them, by the inspiration of the Spirit, was given a word, one word, to define the true state of this act of getting on his knees. He worshiped.
Yes, sir.
But he worshiped what? It didn't say worshiped and said. Mm-mm. Right?
No.
It says worshiped saying. So here comes a verbal manifestation of what was in here.
Yeah.
Right? Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So secondly, as I said, true worship acknowledges Christ's ability. Jesus Christ has power. Now, he has power both ways. He has power, that is, authority.
Yeah.
Right? But he also has power as in ability.
Yes, sir.
Right? Acts chapter 4. Listen to what it says here. I hope I got the right one. Nope, I don't have the right one. But let me just stop and say this. Christ has the power.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
And I have the whole wrong verse here. In other words, he has ability. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and I know that one's right. I don't know where I got that Acts 4 from. Somebody must have snuck in and wrote that one down on there, something. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Now remember, Paul was actually suffering for preaching what he preached.
Yes, sir.
There's not a one of us that suffered to this extent.
No.
You know? But even then, Paul says, I am not ashamed.
Exactly.
For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is what?
Able.
I am persuaded. Now see, that's the hope. Now you say, well, I'm not so sure. Well, you're not going to get anything. You're not worshiping. Just the way it is. You see, you may doubt yourself all day long.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that true worship doesn't do is doubt Christ.
That's it.
And true faith don't doubt Christ.
Exactly.
You know? It's what it says of Abraham, right? Being strong in faith. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now you look back at some of the things Abraham did and you say, well, that don't look like strong faith. But strong faith was this, knowing that what God had promised, he was what? Able to perform. He's got the power.
Yeah.
He's got the power.
Yes, sir.
Now, I remember what I was supposed to, well, no, we'll look at that later. We won't go to that now. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Now this is familiar with probably most of us here. Because actually here in this place, and I'm not bragging about me, I'm actually talking about Earl Cochran. In this place is one of the only places, and I've been to a lot of church buildings, been to a lot of Sunday school classes and all kinds. It's one of the only places when people teach and preach from Hebrews, they actually say something that makes sense. You know, most of what I heard from Hebrews was just a babble of who knows what.
Yeah.
You know? Hebrews chapter 7. Listen to what this says. Let me find where I have to start here. Verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They had a job to do.
Yeah.
But when they died, that job still needed to be done. So they had to have a priest after a priest after a priest. Right?
Exactly.
But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood.
Yeah.
Wherefore, he is what?
Able.
And not just able to heal, but able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him.
Amen.
Now, do you see that?
Yep.
Now, yes, it says they come, but they got to come how?
By him.
By. Now, it's not through.
Exactly.
Through speaks of a mere means or like a tunnel or a key to get in through a door. Okay?
Yeah.
This says by as it means source.
Right.
You see?
Yep.
He is able also to save them to the uttermost, that is completely, that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, he's what? He's able. Lord, thou canst. Right? Lord, you can make me clean. And let me say, when it comes, and if you don't know this, then this won't really be relevant to you. And Joe's actually already mentioned it. If you're not able to taste, and I'm talking about in a spiritual manner, I'm using that metaphorically. If you're not able to taste the vile guiltiness of what you are in God's sight, you've got no reason to cry out, I need to be clean, do you?
Exactly.
But if you can taste that, that's real to you. Huh? Then you can say, it's a glory to even hear of here is one who is Lord, and he can make me clean. Right?
Amen.
Here's the question. Will he?
Yes, sir.
Right? Will he do it? Now, somebody said, well, people like you believe he won't do it for everybody. You know, these other folks believe it too.
Yeah.
They just don't say it truthfully.
Exactly.
They believe somebody's going to hell.
Yep.
Right? They're always preaching it. You're going to hell.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
You're going to hell unless you do this or unless you do that. No, I'm going to hell unless the Lord makes me clean.
Amen.
And if he makes me clean, he's able to keep me completely.
Yes, sir.
Because he ever lives to make intercession for me.
Amen.
You see, Jesus Christ is absolutely sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, will he make me clean?
Yeah.
Now, someone says, well, but, you know, is there anyone that's ever desired to have mercy from God and not found it? How do you answer that? Huh?
Yeah.
There's some people that's desired to have mercy from God,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't find it.
Yep.
Because they desired to have mercy in the wrong way.
Amen.
From the wrong source.
Exactly right.
You know? There's many of people going to, they ain't going to want to go to hell. They're expecting to go to heaven, and they ain't going to get in.
That's exactly
Christ
right.
Said that, right?
Yeah.
They really expect to go to heaven, and Christ says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir.
And I guarantee you, they want mercy.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But they ain't going to find it. Why? Because they sought it the wrong way.
Amen.
Their worship was flawed.
Yeah.
What did they say? Have not we. We did this, we did that, we did this, we did that. And that's what just about every so-called professed Christian today, when you ask, why are you saved? Well, I did this.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I went forward. Well, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Well, I asked God for mercy. Right?
Yes, sir.
I joined the church. I did all. I repented. I was baptized. But every once in a while, you run across somebody that says, God did something for me.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
God made me clean. God saved me. Every once in a while, you run across somebody that truly gives credit to God for what they are in Christ. Right? They know it's his work. Now, he is absolutely sovereign. He even prayed it as a testimony. Now, he wasn't praying to prove it to him. He's praying to the Father. But we have it recorded for our benefit.
Yes, sir.
John 17 says, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over, what? All flesh. Now, we know that the word all sometimes can have a limited meaning, but it means all of whatever particular group.
Yeah.
But the context here is clear. He has power over, right? Power over, what? All flesh. What? All flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as. So now there's a limited number in that all.
Yes, sir.
of whom he has power over all of them, right?
Exactly.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him.
Amen.
He is sovereign.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, in other words, this thing, you know, I know we say it over and over, but people are still out there giving these lies, and people are still believing those lies, and I have reason to believe that some of God's people may still be out there under those lies. Okay? And they say, well, God's done all he can do, now it's up to you. That's not so. The proper attitude and that which comes about when God shows, gives inner grace into an individual is that they can relate to this statement, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Amen. That's right. That's it.
The question is, it's up to him.
Exactly.
They come to that place to where they know, I don't accept him. He's the king. He has to accept me.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you need to accept Jesus. He's Lord.
Yeah.
He don't need our acceptance.
Exactly.
You know? And if God's give you a spiritual mind, you know how silly that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
For a man or a woman to accept Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The truth is, he must. It is paramount. It is my only hope is that he accepts me. I have more to say about his absolute sovereignty, but here's the glory. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did Jesus say? He touched him.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Touched him. Broke the law.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, he didn't break the law. Remember, it's right to show mercy.
Yes, sir.
It's not breaking the law. Right?
That's true.
He touched him, but what did he say? I will. Huh? Now see, God says, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Amen.
And somebody said, well, but the man had to ask first. Who do you think give him that desire? Who put him in that position? Who made him feel that way? Why did he know this man Jesus was Lord? Something had been done to him before, right? God started this business, not this leper. Matter of fact, God was the one that let him get a leprosy to start with. To put him in that spot so that I'd be here this very day talking about him.
Exactly.
And preaching the truth of here's who Christ is.
Amen.
Right? Here's who Christ is. He's absolutely sovereign. Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. Right? And I'm going to tell you something. Once God teaches you this,
yeah.
I remember being trained to be a soul winner. Okay? And I remember how nervous and awkward I felt going up to people's homes, even unannounced, knocking on the door and then going in trying to save their souls. And Mason was always, I wonder if anything's going to happen. You know, what's going to happen? Is it going to be bad? Is it going to be good? Huh? But when God begins to teach you a little bit about his absolute sovereignty, that kind of nonsense and silliness just goes away with the wind. Now, you may still be nervous. You're a human being. You know, you may still get the butterflies and all, and things may happen bad, but even if they do, God Almighty ordained it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, now we'll look at it more later. Christ said, don't tell anybody. Just go offer either your ram, or if he didn't have it, it was two turtle doves. And if he didn't have two turtle doves, he could offer a flower offer, a meal offering. Go do that. Don't tell anybody. What did he do? Turned around and went and told everybody everywhere.
Everybody,
you know? I mean, he'd meet somebody. Look, I'm clean. Huh? I mean, he was really clean. He didn't have to wait the 7 days and then be checked again. And then 7 days and then be checked again. And he was full of leprosy.
Yes, sir.
That meant he was from here all the way down to here.
Yeah.
And he was, look, nothing there anymore. No white spots, no bumps with white hairs in it, Joe. No flesh rotting off anymore. All the glory. When God begins to show you, when he begins to reveal to you that he is Lord and that he can, and also if he will,
yeah.
Just if. Just that slight thing, Jay, gives you hope. If. You know?
Yeah.
If thou will. But Let me tell you, those who are truly asking because God's done a work in their heart, they're going to get from God's sweet Holy Spirit the "I will, be thou clean."
Yes, sir.
He's going to let you know that. He's not going to leave you over dangling in the wind, wondering whether you got it or not. Okay? He says, "I will, be thou clean." Why? He's sovereign.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? He's sovereign. Colossians 1, this is a passage that years ago just, I mean, it floored me when I read this. And Paul is talking about Christ, into whose kingdom we've already been brought, translated, right? Mm-hmm. And we are in that kingdom now.
Yes, sir.
Now, we are in the kingdom. It doesn't say the kingdom's here.
No.
We're in the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because we're in the King.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're in Christ.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, the fact is, if this world today is the kingdom, the Holy Scriptures exaggerated as to how glorious it's going to be.
Yeah.
Huh? The type don't fit the reality,
Amen.
Does it?
Close.
But we are in the kingdom, beloved.
Yes, sir.
He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, verse 14, Colossians 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
Amen.
For by Him were all things created,
Amen.
That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. Okay? Now let me just stop. People in charge are in charge because Christ Almighty said so.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You know? And if He wants to depose one, He'll put one in and then He'll depose him before His time's even up. Right? And we've seen this, especially just the past few years. The choice, God may use the choice of the people to put the one He wants in there, or God may overrule it all and put the one He wants in there.
Right.
As we've seen in the past, He may put a man in charge and then allow another man to come along with a pistol and shoot him back the head.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
People are on a throne. They're in charge because Christ Almighty ordained it so. Right?
Amen.
It says for thrones or dominions, and that means the same thing, but we're not talking just about world, a particular individual here. Yeah. We're talking about a whole country, you say.
Yeah.
You know? This country's here because God Almighty ordained it be here.
Amen.
And if God Almighty's ordained it disappear, it'll disappear.
That's right.
You know? Now, does that mean we're to be fatalistic? Of course not. But we know everything is in Christ's hands.
Yes.
You know?
That's it.
Well, I want the country to go this way. Well, I understand what you know. I'd like to see it go a certain way too.
Yeah.
You know? And I may do everything I can personally do to try to kind of help steer it that way.
Yeah.
But if it goes another way, you know what I got to do? I got to bow down to God Almighty's sovereign purpose.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know? Whether it be thrones or dominions or what? Principalities and powers.
Yeah.
This speaks of demonic forces. That's the Greek. That's where this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Even the devil has no more power than what God Almighty allows him to have.
Exactly.
As Job clearly implies, the doctrine taught in the book of Job,
yes.
The devil can't touch nobody unless God gives him say so.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
well,
it.
You put a hedge about him, all right, I'll take the hedge down. But even then, you can only go so far.
Right?
But he's the devil. He's God's archenemy. No, he ain't. We are. That's right. We're the archenemy. He's an angelic being. Okay? He's above us. Now, is that to say he's not? He is an enemy of God. No doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants to blame the devil for everything, even their sin. Poor old Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
No, my old evil. Wicked, sinful flesh makes me do it.
Yes, sir.
That's right? That's why I did it. Now I remember where I was. Principalities and powers.
Yes.
Hmm? What did Christ tell even Peter? Peter? Well, that's just Job. Way back yonder, God did that. Now, here's Peter. Peter, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. And God turned Peter over to Satan. Huh? Yeah, he turned him, yeah. But he said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, here's the amazing, he didn't say I pray that your faith will return or it'll recover. I prayed that your faith fail not. Peter failed, but Peter's faith didn't fail. When Peter said, I don't know the so-and-so, we're not told what words he used, but it says he cursed and swore. You know, he used bad language.
Exactly.
I don't know the so-and-so. He knew deep down in here, yeah, I do. I know who he is. Huh? He just got scared, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Here we go. Here, come back to this leper. Don't tell anybody. He went out and published it much and published it abroad. Mm-hmm. This man healed me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something, especially in the beginning. Now, after a while, it may die down. You know, when it first happens to you, it's going to leak out on you. God ever does something for you, you may even try to keep it quiet sometimes, but it's gonna sneak out.
Yeah.
You're gonna say things that, man, why did I say that? Now I'm in trouble. You know? But you will begin to brag on the person of Jesus Christ. I guarantee you that. If you can't,
yes, sir,
then you ain't never met him like this leper met him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, when you meet him in the state that the leper was in, and I'm talking about not his leper state, but I'm talking about his inner state. This, you know, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you meet him that way, you got no problem with him being Lord. You will be fully persuaded that he can, and you will hope he wills to.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? That's right, you will hope he wills to. As the old songwriter said, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, the grace that most people preach is what's that to make you? It's not grace. It's not grace. Don't send you to hell. Your sins do, right? But he said he wrote, "Grace was grace that taught my heart to fear." Why? Because grace is particular.
Yes, sir.
That man was of that group of people that believe God shows only certain people grace.
Yeah.
You know, he became one of those preachers. And he wrote that song, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. But what else? And grace, my fears relieved.
Amen.
Huh? If a person comes to Christ as this leper does, worshiping him, and can say, not he don't even have to say it outwardly, but can say inwardly, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know what he will do? He'll touch him.
Amen.
And he'll say, I will. And they'll be clean. They'll be clean. They'll still go sin. They're going to mess up.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? But they're clean.
Yes, sir.
Now, you know, I was hoping to get a whole lot further than this. Because with these three basic, you know, these basics of true worship, these three things, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There are also fundamentals to true worship.
Yes, sir.
And there's two of them. Okay? And it relates to what we said. You remember what our Lord said about worship. He said, God seeks true worshipers.
Yes, sir.
Right? He seeketh such to worship him. And they that worship him must, so that's imperative.
Yes, sir.
There's no deviation here. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth.
Amen. That's right.
Hmm? Must.
That's it.
It's not... So, boy, Jesus is awful hard. Well, I guess he was, because he was for truth.
Exactly.
Hmm? Let me just give you this. I looked at dictionary.com, and this may be true. This may be true. It said that words like cat, dog, horse, they're concrete words. Mm-hmm. But words like adulthood... and truth are abstract words. That may be true as words.
Yeah.
But truth is not abstract. Truth is concrete.
Yes, sir.
It's concrete. It's not abstract. It's not, well, this is one person's truth. There is God's truth. It is established. It is immovable. It can't be added to or diminished. If you do in any way, then you've left truth.
Amen.
You know? There is no part truth.
Yeah.
Christ never said you need to believe half the truth.
Exactly.
Right? They that worship me must worship me in spirit and just seek for truth. Well, I'm a seeker of truth. A lot of people have been seekers of truth.
Yeah.
And they found something that's not truth. And I remember a passage. These fundamentals to true worship, where Christ said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Okay? Now here, we'll look at a few more later, and I started a little late, so I'm giving myself just a few more minutes. What is the truth? Didn't even Pilate ask that, right? What is truth? Now, he didn't say what is the truth. He even wanted to know what truth. What is truth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let's compare truth with lie.
There you go.
Okay? Let me just give you a statement. Jesus Christ was just a special man. Or he was God manifest in the flesh.
Exactly.
Now when I asked it, was Jesus Christ just a special man? Is that truth or lie? That's a lie. It's a lie. Jesus Christ was not just a special man. Jesus Christ is none other than God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's settled.
Yes, sir.
That's the truth.
Exactly.
Anything that does not hold to that is a lie.
That's it.
Here's another one. Jesus Christ comatose on the cross and revived in the coolness of the tomb. Is that truth or lie? Now, if you don't believe God's book, I'm not even talking to you. These questions, you're not a part of this debate or this discussion, these question and answer session here. I'm talking about from God's word.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ comatose on the cross and revived in the coolness of the tomb. There are people who call themselves Christians,
yeah,
believers, who believe that.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Or is it? Is this the truth? He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day.
Yeah,
what's the truth?
Yeah.
The truth's not abstract. It's not, well, what seems more plausible? We don't care what's more plausible. We're not looking for possibilities, human understanding, or scientific background. I don't care about science.
Amen.
What does God's book say? Behold, I am he that was dead, and I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
Right? He didn't comatose. He died.
That's right.
They put him in that tomb. On the third day, he came out of that tomb, and several days later, he went back to sit at the Father's right hand. That's the truth.
Yep.
Here's another one. Mercy and compassion are received by free will. Where's that at in the Bible? Now don't run to whosoever will. Mercy and compassion are received by free will. Is that the truth? Where's it at? It's not in the book. It's not truth. The truth is mercy and compassion are received from none other than God himself alone.
Amen.
Now look at it. Romans. I mean, it's clear.
Yes, sir.
It says it right here in black and white before us.
Yes, sir.
Verse 15 of Romans 9, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth.
Exactly.
You see, it doesn't matter about man's will. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. This is like the guy who's continuing on. He don't just make a start, quick dash and fall over. He started, but Mason, he's still going. It's not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but of God. Of God, source of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
It says it right there. We've no reason to debate free will. It's a lie. Even if you had one, it's not of him that willeth.
Exactly.
Right? It depends on God. Let me tell you again, I say truth is not abstract. This is not theological debate. This is, thus saith the word of God.
Amen.
What it says. Father, we thank you for the understanding, the spiritual ability, the spiritual sense of need, and also for that spiritual faith that you've given us, and enabled us and give us the privilege of worshiping you in the person of your Son. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. If anybody wants to look at that directory, there's a couple, two or three of them up here.